720 WGN and WGNRadio.com. This is the Alzheimer's Show. I'm Brian Alzheimer. I want to thank everybody out there listening. Hey, I don't get a chance to talk to celebrities that often, but when I do, I get a little nervous and excited at the same time. And this guy is somebody that I like to call a friend, Mr. Jay Washington. He's an actor, comedian, podcaster. This dude does so much stuff. And I wanted to get him on, you know, on these early episodes of the Alzheimer's Show. And he joins us right now on the hotline. Hey, how you doing?
I just want to know where the celebrity is you're talking about. Let me know when they come through, because I'll gladly step to the side.
Oh, man, you are a celeb if I ever saw one, man. So, I mean,
man, I appreciate it, man.
So you are from Chicago originally, and you're out in L.A. and you're doing things. Tell me about your early beginnings as a comedian, because that's something that a lot of people don't necessarily go to right away. So tell me a little bit about your early beginnings as a comedian.
So for me, being a comic, actually was an offshoot of me being a pro wrestler. For those who know my backstory, you know, I was in pro wrestling since like 2000, and, you know, then I had like a little neck injury, whatnot. But I got, for all intents and purposes, discovered. I remember when Facebook was just popping, and I would just write little funny statuses, and I met somebody who said, "Hey, have you ever thought about getting into stand up?" And I was like, "Not really. I wouldn't know how to go about it, all this and the third." And so we met up. And they set me up to go up and do a set at Too Much Talent Tuesdays at the former Checkerboard Lounge in Hyde Park. Mm-hmm. And I remember going, I had to write 5 minutes worth of jokes, which I was like, oh, that'd be simple. I went up and I killed. First 5 minutes was great. And it was really impactful for me, because that night, like D. Cole, Sean Morgan, Lil, a couple of them were in the audience, and these are people I've watched on TV and seen in shows and was a fan of. So they were like, "Yo, come back next week." And I was like, "Back, cool, cool." So I came back the next week. I wrote a whole new 5 minutes, and I bombed horribly.
Oh, wow. And so, like,
horribly.
And so when you bomb, I mean, do you take that and you try to use that as energy? I want to know the process that goes through your mind when you actually bomb. Do you realize it as you're on stage, or do you realize it once you get off and you're like, damn, you know,
you realize it when you're on stage, but I think it's a difference in when you realize it when you're first starting. Because when you're first starting, you're like, oh God, no one's laughing at anything I'm saying. Well, what's going on? What's wrong? And so you're trying to figure that out, and you can't, because you're not experienced enough to figure out how to try to switch gears or how to try to get them back. So you just let it happen. Now, as you know, later years are still doing it, because everybody's had a bomb here or there. You have those nights where it's like nothing is connecting with the crowd. You try to switch up material. You try to start talking to the crowd. You start doing everything, sort of setting yourself on fire, and it's not connecting. And so, but it's a beautiful thing in a sense, because there's this thing in stand-up where you learn more from bombing on stage than you do from killing on stage. Because when you kill, you know everything works. You're good. But when you bomb, you got to figure out where it went wrong. That's when you like trying to figure out the formula, and you looking like Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover at the blackjack table. You know, you trying to figure out what equation to put together.
We're talking with Jay Washington. He's a comic and actor, podcaster, wrestler as well. So tell me that moment when you realize, I'm really good at this. This is something I want to do for the rest of my days.
Ooh, I think for me, I had a buddy who did this thing. He did a challenge of 30 sets in 30 days, my buddy Ryan Buds. And I was like, all right, I think I can do that. And so as I hit 30, I was like, let me do 50. And then as I did 50, I was like, let's see if I can hit 100 days in a row doing stand-up. And it wasn't just one set a night. It was multiple sets. So then I remember I got on the show, and all of a sudden, everything was just firing on all cylinders. Everything was just going. And then I started realizing, okay, I'm good at this. Then I started getting opportunities to go on the road, whether it be spots in Indiana, spots in Michigan, spots in Wisconsin, just being out of Chicago, you know, being out of my normal area. And so when those opportunities started coming to me, that's when I realized I might have something at this. You know, when I can go to another city, another state, and make people who've never heard of me, who don't know me, laugh, now I'm like, okay, I must be good at this. But I also had to remember I couldn't get comfortable. Right. I couldn't become complacent. I couldn't be like, yo, I'm good at that. I can make them laugh. I always, for me, this was always just a me thing anyway. It's just like, I got to keep being better than I was the last time. Mm. I can't just accept the, yo, I know how to go through the motions, boom, 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 get from A to B, and I'm good. I always said, no, I want to be better, because the only way I can elevate in my career is to consistently try to better myself at my craft. So that's where that came from.
And one of the things I always wanted to ask a comic is, and I've heard other comics talk about this, some of your best comics have kind of like, not necessarily a dark side, but they always have something that they're struggling with. And, you know, Robin Williams dealt with it. There are a few other comedians that dealt with it. Because you guys, you go out pretty much on a nightly basis and you make people happy. Do you find yourself in places where you're like, you know, I just don't want to do this today. I just want to focus on me and my mental health and things that's going on with me. You know, have you ever gotten to that place? And if so, how do you get out of that?
So I've been very, very open about my struggles with mental health and, you know, going through therapy, battling depression, and even having a couple of those certain tendencies back in the day. But, and one of the things for me personally has always been, whenever I'm having a spiral moment of my depression or anxiety getting too high where it's gotten me down, I always tend to reach out to others to uplift them. So I'll just send out random text messages and phone calls just to people who wouldn't expect it, just to send them positive affirmations and whatnot. Mm. And even when it comes to being on stage, yeah, it's been numerous times where I've had life's tribulations kicking me down. And I was like, I don't want to do this, but my job, my blessing, and my calling is to make others forget about their worries, to make others forget about their struggles for how, no matter how long I'm on stage. And so that's how I get through that. Now, normally, when it's not a stage, if I'm dealing with my situation, of course, you know, I do have a therapist, which I'm grateful for. You know, I see that. I read a lot of self-help books. I do meditation. I do things for me now that I never did when I was younger, which I probably should have done. But knowing better now, you know, I'm able to deal with things and able to, you know, spread the information in a sense. Like, I'm not a medical professional, but I can say, look, my therapist helped me go with this. Now, I don't know if it'll work for you. You may want to see a therapist on your own or whoever the case, whatever the case may be. But I've always figured out, like, I'm better, even when I'm sad, I'm good at making others happy.
We're talking with actor and comic Jay Washington. So you started off wrestling, and the wrestling turned into stand-up comedy. When did that turn into appearing on TV? And at some point, you're on Showtime. How did that transition happen?
Man, it was crazy, because this is in my, it's in my early years, my infancy, if you will, stand-up. And I'm just trying to find any place to get on stage, connect with anybody who can put me through, you know, help me get on stage just to work and hone the craft or whatever. And I remember meeting a dude, and I can't remember. I remember I met this dude. And God, I remember. I wish I remember his name fully. It skips my brain right now. But he had a show on AM radio out in Chicago, and I did his little show, and then he was booked on some show, a stand up show he was doing, and he asked me to come do it, and I did it. And I remember him saying, do you have an agent? I was like, nah. He was like, I want you to meet my agent. I was like, okay, cool. I was so hesitant. I was like, all right. Because it wasn't a thought of mine at the moment. You know what I'm saying? And so when I sat down with him, he was like, well, I need you to get some headshots. And I was broke. And so, you know, I was broke. So I remember my girlfriend at the time took the camera that I had and took pictures of me outside. We just took pictures outside and by the brick wall. And for the longest, I used those as headshots. And then I started, you know, eventually getting auditions. And I would go in. I wouldn't care too much. But it wasn't until I started getting callbacks. And I was like, wait, what? They want to see me again. And when I booked my first commercial, it was a commercial for TD Bank. And I shot it. I booked it in Chicago, but it shot in New York. And this is what let me know I could do this. When they, on a Friday, they flew me out to New York just for a fitting. Huh. They flew me out got me fitted, fed me, put me back on a plane to Chicago. Just to Monday morning, had me back on a flight to New York to get put up in the hotel and everything and get a per diem, which I never had before then. And then the next day, you know, shoot. And then I was like, oh, so I can do this. And so then I started booking them a couple more commercials. And then the biggest opportunity came being at home back in Chicago is when I booked Chirac.
Yeah.
You know, and I know everybody has their, you know, especially people from the Caribbean, people who are from the block where I grew up at and went to school, where I went to school, you know, have things to say about Chirac. But for all intents and purposes, for me, if it isn't for that movie, my life doesn't make the transition it makes. Because being alongside Wesley Snipes, being directed by Spike Lee, working with Angela Bassett, Nick Cannon, John Cusack, all these people, you know, you start making the connections and you get put on a different level.
Right.
So it was when I did that, you know, I move out here to L.A. And when I move out here, it was a culture shock because also, you know, being one of the main stars of the movie, Chirac, I was like, oh, I'm good. I should be able to come out here and everything on coast. And you realize it easily that, oh, you think you're somebody because you're in a movie? Well, there's 22 people who are in the movie right now. There's 25 people on the TV show. And so it was a matter of auditioning as well out here. And when it came to American Gigolo on Showtime, that was the craziest thing because I remember it was February 2022 and it was on a Thursday and I got the audition and me and my buddy did the audition. He helped me with the audition. I sent it off. Then I had to go drive up north 3 hours to go do a comedy festival for the weekend. I'm getting ready to do the festival for the night. My agent texted me. He was like, yo, you probably finna book this role. You're gonna need to come back down to COVID. You're gonna probably need the COVID test. She thought I was still in LA. So I was like, all right, cool. I'm in San Luis Obispo. I gotta drive down. She thought I was in San Francisco, which was 6 hours away. Nonetheless, did what I did that day, you know, I took my COVID test, got on set with John Barenthal the first time. It was just the one day, the one episode we shot. We had a blast. We chopped it up. And I remember he was like, yo, I hope to see you again. And I told him, yo, you number one on the call sheet. You can make that happen. And you can make that happen. And so, like, I reread the script they sent for the show, for that episode. And I was like, well, my character don't die. And the job that he has, he doesn't, you know, the character, John Barenthal's character doesn't leave it. So I was like, there's a possibility my character could come back. But after like 2-3 months, when I didn't hear none, I just let it go. I was like, all right, whatever. I did an episode. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then I remember the first week of June, I get an email from my agent. Your character is recurring. They need you for episode 8. I was like, bet. Cool. I'm going back for another episode. And the week I was about to go back, she texted me again. They're adding you to episode 3. I was like, what? So then I ended up being in 3 out of 8 episodes of it, and that changed on a whole nother level because I didn't, you know, John Barenthal is the dude out here. He's one of the guys out here.
Yeah, it's the
point. You know, people love him and everything he's in.
I love that dude, man. I love John, and this him as the Punisher, man. Like that right there just did it for me, you know, as far as...
Same here.
Oh, my God.
That's how I was... That's why I had to keep myself from freaking out, because I was like, oh, my God, I'm working with the Punisher.
We're talking to Jay Washington, actor and comic. You mentioned something earlier about, you know, moving out to L.A. and then having that culture shock. And I have the privilege of following you on various social media accounts here. One of the things that kind of surprised me, especially now, and I didn't notice this until I actually looked at your full profile, like on Instagram, that you are verified. But then up under that, you have the no meta
Let me be real.
That's the first thing I
saw. I busted my behind to get that verification because, you know, what it does, it did help with a level of visibility and almost classification as to who you are and solidifying what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally got verified February 2023. They finally sent the verification joint. I was like, cool, I got my check mark. I'm good. So now I can, you know, be more visible to people and I can connect with people better. And then Meta was like, yo, we finna start paying for it. And I was like, y'all not finna confuse me with them. So
right. This
is a real, this is a real one here. I didn't have to pay. I'm not paying a monthly subscription to keep a check mark.
How do they know the difference between somebody that bought it as opposed to somebody that actually earned it the way you did?
If you press on somebody's profile name on Instagram and go to about this account, it'll tell you when it's verified, the earliest it's verified. Everybody verified March 2023 and after paid for it.
So do you feel at this point with the way the entertainment business works? Because, I mean, I've gotten the whole, hey, you need to have this many followers. You need to be.
Bro, I've had that so many times and it kills me.
Yeah,
I mean, I got that so many times.
I wonder how they're going to actually filter all this through, because now, you know, I'm just speaking for myself. Like, maybe one day I'll be famous at some point, and maybe I need to verify myself. But, you know, I don't want to have to buy it, you know, and if I get it after 2023, then people would just assume that I bought it. It's so weird, you know, to be in this realm where your value is your social media presence. We're talking with actor and comedian Jay Washington. Can I ask you about the pitfalls of comedy and writing certain material? Because we're in a place, a very, very sensitive place, where if you tell that wrong joke, or if you the punchline doesn't come out the right way, and people tend to take it the wrong way, and the next thing you know, you're being canceled. And it's led to some comics saying, hey, you can't even have a phone in my show at this point. Like, if you're coming to my show, you're going to lock your phone away until the act is done. Has that had an impact on how you write your material? And do you see comedy changing for the better with this going on?
That's a loaded question. And it's a good loaded question. But here's why I say that. Writing material, you just got to write what you know. You write what you see, you write what you observe, you write what you experience. And you can't tell me that my experience is wrong. As long as I'm not degrading you personally in a certain group or community or your experience, so I'm downplaying that, you can't say that how I see something is wrong. Because I see, yeah, what it may be different, but the way I see it is the way I'm going to see it. You'll never have my perception, you know what I'm saying? So I think the fact that people locking up phones, that should have been done for years. I'm going to be honest, that should have been done, because people have lost the ability to be in the moment. Everybody want to catch, like, look, everybody want to catch him, like, oh, I want to have this for later. No. You don't know if the comic you're watching is working on a material, working on jokes, or whatever. They don't want that material out there. But also, people being sensitive to jokes now, there's this phrase punching down, and I push back on it a little bit, because I don't think you always say you just want to punch on groups that are marginalized, because through all standards, and especially in America, the amount of marginalized groups are pretty much everyone. And there's always going to be something about somebody, but that's the thing comedy has always been. Comedy has always addressed the absurdities, has always talked about the observations and seen things. And in many cases, yes, it is a lot of self-deprecating humor, but there are a lot of people who do not want to hear people just down themselves the whole time.
Right.
So it varies. And I think another thing becomes, you got to be open to when you go to these comedy shows, because there are some people who go to shows who they have no idea who they're seeing. And when that be the case, you might run into a comic who's going to say something that, quote unquote, may offend you. Now, it's not saying the comic is trying to offend you. It's not saying the comic is trying to hurt your feelings. You don't know this comic, so you don't know what to expect. And if that be the case, if you feel like, oh, I just finally heard something, then you got to only go to shows where you know who the performer is. Because you have to play that, you have to play it, quote unquote, safe. Comedy is changing, but it's not the best. The problem is, and I consider myself very liberal, progressive, and forward thinking. People are pushing people to that other side of trying to be, oh, you want to be mad at something, I'm going to show you to be mad at. And that's not a good way comedy should be at all.
We're talking with Jay Washington. He's a comic and actor. A couple of final questions here. You're doing a lot of stuff. Where do you see yourself about 5 years from now? What would be like that dream role or that dream stand-up gig?
Oh, 5 years from now, I'm already up taping my 1 hour special. I'm EPing and starring in my own sitcom. I'm deleting a couple of movies, and I got a couple of other TV shows sold. On top of that, I'm touring with the podcast. And so I already know where I see myself. There is no, oh, this is a good question. I know the bare minimum for 5 years from now. That's the bare minimum. Now, to a lot of people, that sound like a lot, but it's not for me. That's the bare minimum.
I want to expound even further on that. But if you ask me what I want in 5 years, I've already done an hour special at least. And it's solid, and it's making traction. I'm EPing or starring in my own sitcom. I just sold another sitcom. I'm a lead in a couple of movies, and things are making their way forward. I may be finally getting my Marvel role, you know, but, and like I said, I'm touring with my podcast and all these different things. And so that's just the minimal of what I want. Yeah. Now, the international travel, all that, you can add that on. More movies, more TV shows, you can add that on. More touring around the country, you can add that on. All those things.
And there you have it. Jay Washington, comic and actor. Hey, check him out on the Mad Titan podcast, too, man, because I'm a DC guy. I'm a Marvel guy, too, but I think I'm more of a DC guy. But I love his Mad Titan podcast. Make sure you check that out. If you want to follow,
if you want to
check out Jay Washington on Instagram, is at Mr. Jay Washington on Instagram, on Twitter. And he did not pay for his verification. I'm letting everybody know that right now. He didn't pay for his verification. He's the real deal. Okay. When you see him, this dude is a bona fide celebrity. Okay. Even though he may not think he's, dude, you are a celebrity and you make Chicago proud, man. So you keep doing it.
From the bottom of my heart, I appreciate it so much. It means so much to this, man. I'm grateful for you, bro, and everything you're doing, and thank you so much.